Well, good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, today we are going to focus on the Magi that came from the East. And oftentimes, as we enter the season of Epiphany, that event is looked upon as the Gentile Christmas, which is kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the message today. I'll share some more on that. But praise God that the Christmas season is ongoing in our lives now and for eternity. We celebrate the reality that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, I want to thank all of the congregation on behalf of our staff for the very, very, very generous gift that you gave to us. And all of us were just amazed when we received the gift, cash gift that you provided. And we're very thankful for that. And very blessed to continue to serve here among our family at Trinity. One thing coming up this Saturday, 9 o'clock, is de-decorating. And so Larry kind of takes charge of that. But if you would like to help take the Christmas decorations down, that'll be this Saturday beginning around 9 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Hesse.
Yes, I'm looking for Terry. Where are you, Terry? Wave your hand. Well, oh, there you are. Okay, Terry, come on up here. How many of you in church today believe in miracles? Raise your hand. Come on. How many of you believe that God does great miracles? How many of you believe in little miracles? How many of you have ever been part of a little miracle? Okay. Well, this past week, I was blessed to go see Letha Witt. And Letha is Terry's mom, and I went over to the house. Pastor has sent me over there to share news of our Savior and share communion and do all these things. And I was there with Letha's caregiver, and her name is Crystal. And from what I could tell, Crystal didn't have a real strong upbringing in the church. And as I talked to Letha about God's love and His grace and His mercy, and the Crystal's over there crying, you know, and I'm like, you know, watching her. And she just had not heard that. And so she was part of the church service that day. Well, as is her custom, Terry came home for lunch, and it was time for Letha to eat. And so before leaving, I don't know why, I went over and sat down at the table. I guess I was hoping to get something to eat. Right, Albie? They didn't feed me.
Wow, tough place.
Anyway, Terry sat across from her mom, and I sat at the end of the table, and the caregiver sat next to Letha, and we were eating, they were eating, excuse me, Letha was eating, her mom was eating, the caregiver and I were not. But anyway, I started to tell Letha about a lady in our neighborhood, a friend of hers, who has suffered a terrible, terrible infection, sepsis. And it's taken her right hand, made it look almost like a boxing glove at one point. And her left shoulder, oh, it was in so much agony, she has to have therapy to learn to use the muscles again. And I took a breath like that to, again, talk, imagine that. And what did your mom say? Very clearly, clear as a bell. Now, this is a woman who, since the stroke, has only can say, heaven, 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 better, better, better. She knows what's going on. You can see the lights are on. She is so frustrated sometimes. But when I was telling her about Verlene, I turned and in a very loud, clear voice, she said,
pray.
Pray. And it wasn't pray, it was pray. And she didn't do it once because she knows I'm hard of hearing because I snapped my neck looking at her so fast. She said it again. And the two of us we're dumbfounded by that. That God would give us this little miracle. This little miracle. What a joy. Now, that's great if it just ends there. Later in the week, on Friday, the caregiver, Crystal, who had been there for church and been there to hear her mother talk, she brought a shawl that her mother had Afghan knitted, or however you do that stuff. I call that a ball yarn. And I don't let Ruth have those weapons anymore. Anyway, they put the shawl on her mother, And her mother looked at it and said in a very loud, clear voice,
"Cute.
Cute. Better, better, better. Heaven, heaven, heaven for years." In 1 week, God allowed us to hear of his joy, of his mercy, of his grace, of his miracles, to hear the word pray. And I give it all to you today, too. We need to be a church that is about prayer. And also the idea of cute, the idea of sharing our talents and our gifts with others. So it was quite a week, wasn't it? It was. So all glory goes to God. And with that, can we start the first hymn?
Not quite. But thank you for sharing. Kyle still has something to share this morning.
Praise God. And to follow that, the prayer, and through his grace and mercy, our enrollment fair coming up at the last Thursday of January, January 30th. We're changing the focus a bit with it. Instead of the pancakes and the there'll still be fellowship, but instead of that being the focus is to bring a friend. Let's brainstorm, spend some time thinking about who do you know? Who does your grandkid play ball with? Who do you know in your neighborhood? Who do you know? And the focus is let's get them here during that roundup time to see the facilities, to meet the teachers, to see some of what we're doing here. The incentive here, obviously, just being here, part of this ministry, with great things happening through God's works. So they're here, they get to see it. And then also, we'll throw a $10 script card at you. So if you bring a friend, find myself or Miss Marshall, we'll give you a ticket, and you'll be able to go to the ticket table and get a $10 script card. But like I said, just really trying to change the focus just a bit to really reach into the community and invite others to be a part of what's going on here through God's grace and mercy.
Well, thank you, Kyle. That's exciting. Well, we begin our worship, and we begin with the opening hymn. How blessed we are to know our heavenly King, to know that he reigns over all things, and for the benefit and the blessing of his church, including all of us as we are blessed to gather in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you, here is your forgiveness. Therefore, we are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as God's people, let us then take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we just take a moment in silence for personal reflection and confession. And publicly we confess together, Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We continue now with the responsive prayer, number 72. Give to the King your justice, O God,
and your righteousness.
May he judge your people with righteousness.
And your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people.
And the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give a deliverance to the children of the needy.
And crush the oppressor.
May they fear you while the sun endures.
And as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass. In his days may the righteous flourish. May he have dominion from sea to sea.
And from the river to the ends of the earth.
May desert tribes bow down before him.
And his enemies lick the dust.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute.
May the kings of Sheba and Sidon bring reverence.
May all kings fall down before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty God, in your Son, Jesus Christ, the hoped-for promise of salvation was fully realized. Grant that we truly welcome Jesus as the King of our hearts and the ruler of our lives. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, world without end. Amen. You may be seated now as we continue with our scripture readings for today.
The scripture readings for this Epiphany Sunday comes from Isaiah 60, beginning at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels from Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel for this, the Epiphany of our Lord Sunday, is the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Visit of the Wise Men. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This time then, we make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, he suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we continue now with our sermon hymn.
And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel account of the Magi, and I'd like us to reconsider verses 1 and 2 of our gospel reading, which reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" And here ends the text. You know, this morning we hear about Gentiles, and Gentiles are everyone else apart from Jews. So don't get confused by that term. But Gentiles are ones who, for the most part, did not grow up with or understand or know or hear about the written Word of God, the Old Testament, as the Scriptures were complete at that time. But here this morning, we hear about these incredible Gentiles, the Magi. You know, has it ever struck you as kind of odd that Matthew, whose gospel, when you read it, is really focused upon the Jews, of speaking to the Jews, and yet it's in Matthew's gospel that we have this incredible account of these Gentile Magi who come to worship the Christ child. And this is often referred to as the Gentile Christmas. And then you think about it, Luke, whose gospel was really specifically directed to the Gentile world, and even more specifically, initially to Theophilus, as we hear his name mentioned. And yet it's in Luke's gospel where we get this detailed account of Jesus' birth that the Jews would readily know and understand. Well, in all of this, it's really a reminder to us, and God reveals it so beautifully to us, that Jesus is really born King of the Jews and the Gentiles, that Jesus came for the entire world. And this morning, as we celebrate the Gentile Christmas, it's focused upon these incredible people, the Magi. You know, there's been a lot of mystery about these individuals, hasn't there? These Magi who come seeking the King. Who in the world are they? You know, there's that great Christmas carol that we know very well. "We three kings from Orient come." Huh, three and kings. And even in a lot of our nativity scenes, we will see three Magi represented. But it's interesting, when you go to God's Word, there's not a number given. We don't know how many Magi actually came to see the Christ child in Bethlehem. And the other thing that we know is most likely they were not kings. Now, they probably were of noble birth. They were probably in some of the upper echelon, if you will, of their culture and society of the day. They were certainly looked upon as great scholars, but nowhere is it indicated that they were kings. And the word magi actually is the word magician that magician comes from, that word that we know so well today. So who are these wise men? Well, I believe that Daniel, the prophet, gives us great insight to this. And you may want to go back and read Daniel during this Epiphany season. But in Daniel 2, verse 48, remember God's people were taken into exile. It was by God's directive. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, remember, came in, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took God's people into captivity in Babylon. Daniel was one of those who was taken, and Daniel was one of those of the royal court. And so they kind of had a special position working with and under Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom of Babylon. And that turned out to be a great blessing in the end. But Daniel, as a result of the Magi, the wise men of Babylon, could not interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In fact, he even threw a real hitch at his wise men of Babylon. He said, not only do I want you to interpret my dream, but you have to tell me what my dream was. And if you can't do that, I'm going to kill you. Can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, you know, you need to tell me what dream I had last night, and if you can't do it, I'm going to kill you? Well, Daniel got word of this, and Daniel offered to, and of course, seeking God, and only God could reveal these things, but Daniel was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was, and then interpret his dream for him. Now, I bring this up because then Nebuchadnezzar assigned Daniel to be the prefect or the leader among all the wise men in Babylon. And who are these wise men? Well, if we go to Daniel 5:11, we get some more insight as to who these people were. And you notice at the end of this reading, made him chief of, and then there it is, a description of the wise men, the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers. Now, none of those things are really positive words for us as Christians. Certainly, we don't want to dabble in astrology. Magic, you know, that can be a very evil thing as well. In however it's approached, enchanters. And a lot of this was seeking, you know, it's kind of mystical stuff. And it was seeking all the even demonic powers in order to come up with these things. And now Daniel steps into that world, and he's the one that's overseeing them. What do you suppose Daniel might have brought to them? True wisdom, right? That wise men would really become wise. And so in Proverbs 9:10, God gives us a definition of what wisdom is. And God simply says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalm 111, verse 10, there it is again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then look at this. All those who practice it have a good understanding. And so not only having wisdom, but then practicing the wisdom that God entrusts to you and me as his people. And where does this come from? Well, 2 Timothy 3 gives great insight. And how from childhood, Timothy, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the written word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so the highest wisdom that you and I are blessed with is to understand and know and trust the salvation that has been won for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this wisdom is a gift, and it's given through God's holy inerrant word, the Holy Bible. And we are blessed to have his word in our hands. And so Daniel was able to bring true wisdom to the wise men. And he actually saved their lives. Can you imagine how appreciative they must have been that he stepped in and their lives now were going to be spared because Daniel could tell the dream and interpret it. And so he becomes, along with his delegation he oversees, they become advisors to the king. And they were looked upon as the most knowledgeable of the nation. Well, that brings us back to the Magi, the wise men that we hear in the account this morning from Matthew. And it begs the question, who are they? Well, first of all, we hear that they came from the east. Well, if you're in Jerusalem and you're looking to the east, what's going to be east of you? But Babylon, right? Where Babylon was. And so it's strongly believed that these wise men were scholars that came from that region of the world. And through all of the events of the past history, that they were introduced to God's word, that they became to faith, that here you had a group of Gentiles living in a faraway place that knew the written word of God. And even beyond that, for them, God gives them this incredible sign. And boy, that could be a whole series of sermons on the star. But I really encourage you to watch the Star of Bethlehem. It's kind of, you got to watch it several times to pick up everything. But it's done by a gentleman by the name of Larson. I have the DVD. But I would encourage everyone to really look at that in depth. It's fascinating stuff. But really, God gives a GPS system way back then. He didn't need electronics, but the written word of God and the star, as God did incredible things with the planets and the stars in the universe. And so the Magi see the star. They see the signs and understand them in the star, and they head to find the Christ child, to worship the King of the Jews. So not only are they trying to find the one born King of the Jews, but they want to go and worship him, and they are led by way of Jerusalem. So they come to Jerusalem, and it's really amazing the contrast here. Can you imagine for the Magi, Gentiles, and they're excited that God would direct them, of all people, to go and see and worship the King. And they're coming to Jerusalem. They know that that's where the temple is. They know that that's where God's chosen people are. And they must have been excited, like, wow, we're going to see all kinds of people excited. And it's going to just be really wild in Jerusalem as people are talking about this one born King of the Jews. They travel hundreds of miles to get there. And back in that day, to travel that far was quite a journey. And when they get to Jerusalem, what do they find out? Well, we hear that Herod, along with all the people in Jerusalem, are troubled. Wow, what a contrast. The excitement and the commitment and the sincerity of the Magi to come and worship the King. And right in the midst of where the King is born among his people, there's trouble. Can you imagine what that must have looked like to the Magi? And Bethlehem's only 5 miles away. They could have easily gone down many times over to worship the King, and yet it hasn't happened. In fact, it comes to the point that Herod even has to inquire of, well, where is this King supposed to be born? And goes to the church authorities, and then they have to research it. Oh, yeah, Bethlehem is what is prophesied. God's own people, chosen people. And there's no excitement there, but instead there's trouble. Well, the Magi came with a very clear purpose, to genuinely, sincerely worship the King. And so the star leads them to Bethlehem, the word leads them to Bethlehem as it was shared with them in Jerusalem. And when they found the Christ child, what do? They bow down and even fell to the ground. Now, just in their posture, revealing how they see this one this young child. And by the way, Jesus is a toddler now. We know that he's just under 2 years old or younger. We don't know his exact age at that moment. But here they come to this toddler. Can you imagine these people of great honor and of nobility and very intelligent, and they're laying on the ground in their posture before this little toddler, and they are worshiping him. And they bring gifts. They bring gifts, and in the gifts, great significance. And by the way, this is probably why many think there were three, because three specific different gifts were given. But what were they? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Very significant. There's quite a message in the offering given, because gold was a common gift given to whom, do you suppose? Kings. You know, kings were of that stature of being worthy of receiving gold and riches like that. And then frankincense. Do you know what frankincense was used for? It was one of the incenses that was used in worship. And so here they're offering this toddler incense for worship. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And then the myrrh, guess what they used that for? It was a burial spice. If you were preparing a body for burial, you would put the spice of myrrh all over the body in preparation for embalming. Huh, think about that. King, worship, embalming. Really defining the gospel, isn't it? What we see right before us. They understood that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's why they came to worship Him. They understood that He is the King of Kings, and they understood that He would die for His people, that He would die for the sins of all people. Definitely, they knew death was in the future. These Gentile magi. And remember, they're in the presence of a little child. They're in the presence of parents that are extremely poor, unknown to most of the world. And yet, they go all out in their worship, travel hundreds of miles. Well, it begs the question for you and me this morning, do you and I join with these wise men? Do we have the same heart? Do we have the same commitment? Do we have the same desire? Do we look upon our Lord Jesus Christ every moment of every day with just absolute awe and amazement that He is in our presence, and in awe and amazement of what He was willing to do and did do to save you and me, that He, the Son of God in the flesh, would humble Himself to die for us? Wow, what a blessing. Are we willing to leave our comfort zone, depending on where God directs us? Boy, they stepped out of their comfort zone, didn't they, the Magi? Are we willing to follow God's GPS for our lives? In other words, how intent are we in seeking His will daily? Or is it kind of like, God, I've got my agenda, but you know what, if I have a little time, I'll kind of see what You might want done today? That wasn't the Magi's heart, but they were all in. They were seeking God's GPS for their lives, meaning in His Word, seeking His will, in being wise enough to stop and ask for directions. Hey, how about that, guys? The Magi asked for directions in Jerusalem, right? Well, think of that at a much deeper level. And we've got some tremendous leaders in this congregation leading Bible studies and other topical studies. And the point of this is we all need help with direction. We need to hear from one another. We need to be in the Word together. And praise God for the wonderful Bible study opportunities we have here at Trinity, that we can discuss the Word together, that we can pick one another's hearts and brains and seek together, collectively, God's truth and His will. And in all of this, as we do this morning, we worship the King. Isn't it an honor to come and worship the King? The King of all kings. And knowing here in a little while, the King is going to offer Himself in with and under the bread and wine with His very body and blood. Our King comes to us in this humble way still today to affirm His love and the victory He has won for you and me. Well, that leads to realize that God continues to seek. God is a seeker. You think of how intense it was for the Magi to seek out the one born King of the Jews in Bethlehem. Think about how intense God seeking the lost is in the world. And it's why Christ came. You know, in Luke chapter 19, don't you love it? Jesus simply says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's not complicated. It's why Jesus came. And by the way, that's what He entrusts to you and me, to be part of this seeking delegation, if you will. In John 4:23, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and asking about worship and worshiping in Jerusalem as opposed to worshiping north in Samaria, Jesus says the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And then look at that. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. What a blessing to know God's desire to save the world. And it goes all the way back to our first parents, doesn't it? Genesis 3:9. We see the seeking immediately after Adam and Eve fell into sin. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" They were hiding. God knew where they were. He was giving them the opportunity to confess. But in that, we see the Lord compassionately seeking those who just horribly rebelled against him. And his seeking is intense. Matthew 23:37, Jesus overlooking the city of Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would have I gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." You just see that heart-wrenching cry of our Lord Jesus Christ that, you know, "I've come here, I'm in your presence, and yet you reject me, you deny me, and in so doing, you're separating yourself from life, and I want you to have life." Oh, the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior," and then look at that, "who desires all people," Jews and Gentiles, "desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's the heart of our God whom we are blessed to know and to worship. And it all has come to us by means of his grace. Did you hear it in the epistle reading in Ephesians 3:8? The first part of that verse, Paul writes, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given." Notice it's a gift. On the road to Damascus, God intervened in Paul's life, changed his life forever, literally. And it was strictly by God seeking out Saul at the time. And with that same grace, Paul goes on to say at the end of this verse 8, "This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." There it is. To preach to the Gentiles. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I, we are blessed to live Christmas every day of our lives. Yeah, we just announced all these decorations. We're going to miss them greatly. They're going to come down this coming Saturday. But guess what? The mission continues on. You and I, like the Magi, we have the great honor of knowing the Lord and of going into the world and seeking out others that they too may know Jesus and that they too would come with passion to worship him. To worship him, the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may God bless us in this journey. May there be excitement, not trouble. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I would invite the congregation to stand as we continue our worship in prayer. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise that you have sought us out through the waters of baptism, through hearing your word. Lord, you have changed our lives forever. And Lord, may we then live each day not troubled, but with great anticipation and excitement of what you are doing in our lives today individually and in the life of your church collectively. Lord, you've got incredible plans for us to accomplish even this very day. But Lord, what an honor that we can gather as family in this place to worship you and to be united in this incredible faith and to know you, Jesus, as our King, who reigns over the universe now and for eternity. Lord, we thank you for the security you establish in our lives, but our hearts go out to those who remain separated from you. And Lord, use us as your instruments to seek the lost with the same intensity that you have sought us. Lord, may we never take for granted the gift of faith that you have given, and may we use every opportunity you provide to reach out to others. Lord, we thank you for our ministry here at Trinity and in being able to work together, to roll up our sleeves, to walk together in doing this great work in this local area. We ask your blessings upon our school and upon the roundup that'll be coming very soon. And Lord, may every one of us in this room truly take time and prayer and thought of people that we know that may be blessed by having their children here at Trinity Lutheran School. Lord, it's one school in the midst of many, but Trinity has special things to offer. And may we be keenly aware of those who may be blessed by having their kids here. Lord, we pray for Apple of His Eye Mission Society, Pastor Bob Rogner and his wife Christy, as they are blessed now to move to Tel Aviv in Israel and do this great mission of reaching out to the Jews, kind of like the Magi's of centuries ago, in the midst of a land that less than 3% acknowledge Christ. Lord, we pray your blessings upon them and that you would protect them. And Lord, we thank you for the LWML and their mighty mites that have provided the resources, the funds, that they can actually live there and do this great mission work. Lord, wherever your word is being shared, we know it doesn't return void. Give us that confidence as we go forth and share. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the miracle of Letha this morning and for Pastor Hesse sharing this incredible account. Lord, we have all of these names in our prayer section of the bulletin that we hold up to you weekly. And oftentimes we never hear about detailed things that are happening like with Letha. And Lord, what a blessing for Letha and for her family, all those who are blessed to experience this. And we thank you. Lord, we prayed for Amanda Teener last week for her surgery and everything went great. And Amanda is here in worship with us this morning. And we thank you for the blessings you bestow upon her. For Jacob McKevitt, Pat Franck's grandson, who had another brain procedure done last Wednesday and everything went very well. And Lord, we just pray your continued blessings upon him. Lord, we hold up to you all the names that are listed this morning. And Lord, we add to that list Bruce, who had heart bypass surgery last Thursday. Bruce, a brother-in-law to Margaret Stanley and Lois Roth. Oh Lord, also this morning we give you thanks and praise for others that we have included in prayer and for the intervention and the blessings you bring. Lord, we hold up to you Luke Coonsey's dad, Lyle Coonsey, who has been diagnosed with colon cancer. Lord, it's always a shock when we hear that word cancer, but comfort Luke and his family, especially Lyle, in as Lyle well knows, your love for him and your presence among him. And Lord, just give peace to this family in the midst of the shock of the news that they have heard. And of course, we always pray for your miracles of healing. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for those who are going through the consequences of national or natural disasters, the earthquakes that have occurred in parts of the world. Puerto Rico is one of those places. The tornadoes recently in the southeast part of our country, and of course the fires in Australia and droughts in other parts of the world. Lord, we just plead your intervention with usable moisture in the dry areas, and for those who have lost everything through disasters, give them hope, Lord, and know that others are aware of their condition and will step in and provide what is needed. Lord, most of all, you are there. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for Ken and Pam Claver's blessings this January with many members and their family celebrating birthdays. And Lord, those special occasions in our lives are just wonderful reminders to us that all good things come from you, and we give you thanks and praise for them and ask your blessings upon the Clavers this month in their special celebrations. Lord, there are so many more things. You know them all together, and in the midst of all of this, Lord, we ask your will to be done, and we give you thanks and praise. In your name, Jesus, amen. You may be seated, and we continue with the offering. And if you are able, I invite the congregation to stand. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you and your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, came into our flesh and you laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, O blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ, Grant us, your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
And let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen.
Peace.